Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
John chapter 19, verses 17 to 24. John chapter 19, verses 17 to 24. John chapter 19, verses 17 to 24 deal with the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, where he's being led then from the judgment hall of Pilate on up to Calvary, and then he's crucified. And we'll take this lesson today up through the events that take place during the first 3 hours of his crucifixion, before the darkness comes. And there's a lot of ground to cover, and as we have done in the recent broadcast, we'll be looking at all the Gospels and basically trying our best with the Lord's help to reconcile these Gospels so that there is a harmony. You know, it's constant when you get into something like what we're dealing with here, and you have eyewitnesses of the crucifixion, and then you have the Holy Spirit giving them inspiring them what to write. You get different accounts, but they're supplemental, not contradictory. And you'll see again, like we did yesterday, where there's a scarlet robe and then a purple robe. Those are not contradictory. They're supplemental. Here, we're going to be looking at vinegar mingled with gall, and we're going to be looking at wine mingled with myrrh. Those are supplemental. They're complementary. They're not contradictory. And you'll see these things as they unfold. Hopefully you can follow along. Now, if you can't follow along, but you want to get this information where you can mark your Bible and bring the harmony together, you're welcome to call us at the end of the broadcast. We'll gladly send you a tape, and then you can get the notes down for yourself. Okay, John chapter 19, beginning with verse 17, and again, we'll just go through the scriptures. We'll be in John 19, 17. We'll also be in Matthew chapter 27, verse 32. We will be in Mark chapter 15, verse 21. And we will be in Luke chapter 23, verse 26. That's John 19, 17, Matthew 27, 32, Mark 15, verse 21, and Luke 23, verse 26. All right, in John 19, 17, the Bible says, "And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha." Now notice it says, "He, bearing his cross, went forth." All right, but now we go over to Luke and we find out what happened. As they led him away, they laid hold upon one Simon, a Cyrenian, coming out of the country, and on him they laid the cross, that he might bear it after Jesus. And then Mark 15 and Matthew 27, they compel Simon, a Cyrenian, who passed by coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross. His name was Simon, and they compelled him to bear his cross. So what happened then is that Jesus Christ, as he was led away, he bore his cross, he was bearing his cross when he went forth, but as soon as he was led away, he no longer had to carry his cross. Simon, the Cyrenian, carried it after him. So you see, supplemental accounts, not contradictory. There are scholars that have said, you see the contradiction. John says that Jesus was bearing his cross, and Luke and Matthew and Mark said that Simon carried his cross. The fact is, Jesus carried it at first, and Simon carried it after him. Okay? Now, we go on over to Luke again, at Luke 23:27, and we find out the next things that happen in the sequence of events, in the chronology. Luke 23:27, and there followed him a great company of people, and of women, which also bewailed and lamented him. But Jesus, turning unto them, said, Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming, in the which they shall say, Blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bear, and the paps which never gave suck. Then shall they begin to say to the mountains, Fall on us, and to the hills, Cover us. For if they do these things in a green tree, what shall be done in the dry? And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. So you see, as the procession then goes from the judgment hall to Golgotha, in the procession there is Jesus Christ, there's Simon the Cyrenian carrying his cross, there are two other malefactors that are led away with him, and then there's a great company of people and of women, and they're bewailing him and lamenting him. And he said, hey, look, don't cry for me, cry for yourselves. Because why? You're going to say one of these days, blessed are they, or the barren, the wombs that never bear, the paps which never gave suck, because they're going to say to the mountains, fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. You know something? That is exactly what the Lord told his disciples in Matthew chapter 24, when he told them about the events that would take place between his crucifixion and his second coming. In Matthew chapter 24, in verse 19, the Lord said, And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. In other words, it's a blessing for those in those days not to have children. And then for the second part of that, from Luke 23:30, about the mountains fall on us and the hills cover us, that is from Revelation chapter 6, and verse 16, after the sixth seal opens, where there's a great earthquake, and the sun black as a sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell upon the earth. In Revelation 6:16, during that time, which is the tribulation, they say to the mountains and to the rocks, Fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? So he points them all the way up to the tribulation while he is walking to Golgotha. Now we go over to Mark chapter 15, and notice they bring him unto the place Golgotha, which is being interpreted the place of a skull. Matthew says they were coming to a place called Golgotha, that is to say the place of a skull. So what Luke does for you is that he fills in all of this information that John just happens to cover in one verse, and Matthew and Mark happen to cover in two verses. There's a lot that took place on that journey to Golgotha. Now let's go over to Matthew chapter 27, verse 34, and find out the next thing that happens in the sequence. So they get to Golgotha, and then what happened? They gave him vinegar to drink mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. Now, there are several things about this. First of all, that vinegar to drink mingled with gall is the fulfillment of a prophecy in Psalm 69, verse 21. Psalm 69 and verse 21. Where the Bible says, They gave me also gall for my meat, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. That is the fulfillment of a prophecy concerning the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ that was written by David in Psalm 69, verse 21. And look at this. In Matthew 27:34, he tasted it, but he wouldn't drink it. Now, gall is bitter. It comes from wormwood, for instance. And there's a reference to these kinds of things in the Old Testament. For instance, in Numbers chapter 6, verse 3, there's a reference to the vinegar of wine. And in Deuteronomy 32, verse 32, there's a mention of the grapes of gall concerning evil people. something that it gets mingled in there. Now, this thing would be like an anesthesia. This thing would be given to him to offset the pain. Evidently, it's something that would have been given to people that were going to be crucified. He tasted it, but he wouldn't drink it. Now, notice when you go to Mark's gospel in Mark 15:23, Mark says something completely different. Mark says, "And they gave him to drink wine mingled with myrrh, but he received it not." Now, there are three differences here. I realize that vinegar in Numbers chapter 6, verse 3 is called vinegar of wine. You might say Mark called it wine, but Matthew called it vinegar. But I'll tell you, there's no comparison between gall and myrrh. Myrrh is a sweet-smelling spice. You know, myrrh, frankincense, gold, those were given by the wise men to Jesus Christ. And myrrh does have a medicinal quality to knock out pain, but myrrh is not gall. Those are separate things. I have, looking at this, I've checked out one commentary, and the guy said they were the same thing, but they're really not. And in truth, these, again, being supplemental, not contradictory accounts, notice Mark says he didn't receive it. He received it not. In Matthew 27, he did receive it. He tasted it, but after he tasted it, he wouldn't drink it. In Mark, he wouldn't even drink it. He didn't even receive it. So evidently then what had happened during the time they get up there to Golgotha and they're preparing then to crucify him, or even as they're getting, you know, laying him down to crucify him, at one time they offer him vinegar to drink mingled with gall, and another time they offer him wine mingled with myrrh. Now later on you're going to find out that the soldiers mocked him and they offered him vinegar while he's on the cross. So that's even a different deal. Okay, so these things again are not contradictory. They're just supplemental. They offered him two different drinks. One he took, he tasted, but he wouldn't drink. The other he wouldn't even receive. And then we go over to Luke's gospel again in Luke 23:33 and find out the next thing that happened. When they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. So when they get to Golgotha, which is the place of the skull, then they go in Golgotha to the place called Calvary. And that's where they crucified him, and that's where they crucified the malefactors, one on the right hand and one on the left. And then we go over to John's gospel, which we're studying, John chapter 19, and now we look at verse 18. So see all the things that took place that John didn't tell you about? He didn't tell you about Simon carrying the cross after him. He didn't tell you about the vinegar mingled with gall. He didn't tell you about the wine mingled with myrrh. He didn't tell you about the great company of people that bewailed him. He didn't tell you about the things that Jesus Christ told them. But he did tell you in verse 18, when they crucified him, that two others with him on either side, one and Jesus in the midst. He did tell you that. And then John goes on to tell you all the rest of the events that he will tell you up to verse 24, leading up to the time of the darkness. But then after John tells you this, there are still yet many more things that happen up there before the darkness comes. John 19:19, Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Now Matthew and Mark and Luke also record this writing at different times. Matthew calls it, this is Jesus, the King of the Jews. John says, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews, and leaves off the this is. Mark says, simply, the King of the Jews. Luke says, this is the King of the Jews. You know what the inscription said? It's supplementary, not contradictory. The inscription said, this is Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. That's what it said. Put it all together. John 19:20, this title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city, and it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. Now that's significant. Hebrew, Greek, and Latin, because you've got Jews that come from many regions around, speaking Hebrew and Greek and Latin, evidently. But also, you've got a lot of other people that are there. As a matter of fact, we find in the book of Acts that there was an Ethiopian eunuch who was coming back from worshiping in Jerusalem, heading back down to Ethiopia. He would have been Coptic, probably, or Latin. All right, now, Hebrew, that would cover Shem, the Jews speaking Hebrew. Greek, that would cover Japheth. These are Noah's sons, by the way, European. And Latin, that would cover Ham. That's the language that was spoken down in Africa at this time. Now, the whole earth was overspread of the three sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and these three languages are the languages of Shem, Ham, and Japheth. In other words, the title above his name, above him on the cross, shows you that the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ was redemption for the whole world. And every language would know about this. John 19:21, then said the chief priest of the Jews to Pilate, write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am the King of the Jews. Pilate answered, what I have written, I have written. I believe Pilate was convinced that Jesus Christ was the King of the Jews, and he wasn't about to change that to appease those chief priests and rulers anymore. He'd messed with them all he was going to mess with them. John 19:23, then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts to every soldier a part. And that's because there were four soldiers. And also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. They said therefore among themselves, let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, because it doesn't have a seam in it. There's no way to divide it properly without tearing it up. And when they did this, they fulfilled a scripture, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, they parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots. These things therefore the soldiers did. Well, that fulfillment is Psalm 22, verse 18. And we're going to refer back to Psalm 22 several times through the remainder of this broadcast, because Psalm 22 is a great prophecy concerning the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm 22, verse 18 says, they part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. That's exactly what they did. This is a great book. And one of the ways you know it's a divine book is that everything that happened to the Lord Jesus Christ fulfills scripture that was written thousands of years, in some cases, before he actually came. Now, Matthew and Mark and Luke also record things concerning these events of the crucifixion right here. Luke says, they said, that during this time of crucifixion, as they're taking off his garments and hanging him on the cross and putting the inscription above his cross there. Luke says, then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. So once they crucify him and hang him up there, Jesus speaks to his Father and asks for his Father to forgive them. Mark says in Mark 15:24, when they had crucified him, they parted his garments, casting lots upon them, what every man should take. And it was the third hour, and they crucified him. See, so each one of these Gospels gives you a little more detail about something that took place here. Like, for instance, John tells you that the Pharisees, the chief priest, had come and tried to talk Pilate out of what he wrote on the inscription, and Pilate wouldn't change it. Luke tells you that he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Mark tells you that when this happened, it was the third hour, it'd be 9 o'clock in the morning. And the superscription of his accusation was written over the King of the Jews, and with him they crucified two thieves, the one on his right hand, the other on his left. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, and he was numbered with the transgressors. All right? Matthew, Luke, and John didn't tell you about that fulfillment. But Mark did. The scripture was fulfilled, which saith, and he was numbered with the transgressors. That scripture is Isaiah chapter 53, verse 12. Isaiah 53:12, the chapter of the suffering servant, says, therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. He did make intercession for the transgressors. He's going to save one of the thieves on the cross, and he also prayed, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. See all the scripture that's being fulfilled here? And Mark alerts you to that, points you to the right chapter, so you know where the fulfillment is. Matthew says, regarding the crucifixion, Matthew 27:35, they crucified him, parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, they parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots, Psalm 22:18. And then Matthew goes on to say, and sitting down, they watched him there. See, the other ones didn't tell you that. But they did. They sat right down there and they watched him. And you know something? That fulfills a scripture. It fulfills Psalm 22:17. I may tell all my bones, they look and stare upon me. That's exactly what they did. That's what David said would happen. And that's what they did. They sat down there and watched him. Set up over his head an accusation written, this is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Then were there two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand, another on the left. So you see how the supplemental accounts of these give you more detail than any one of them individually? There are a lot of scholars who say, no, these supplemental details aren't supplemental, they're contradictory. Those scholars are not right. Now, since we're in Matthew, let's continue on to Matthew 27:39. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, Thou that destroyest the temple. He didn't say he was going to destroy the temple. He said to them when he gave that testimony, destroy this temple and in 3 days I'll raise it up. He was talking about his body. He didn't say he was going to destroy it. He told them to destroy it. And they did. They crucified him. They said, Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself if thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. You know something? They're wagging their heads and reviling him. Fulfills another scripture, you'd know. It fulfills Psalm 22:7-8. All they see me, laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head, saying, He trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. Isn't that an amazing thing? When God said about David that he was a man after my own heart, he's not kidding. David understood all this suffering and wrote it down and recorded it in the psalm 1,000 years before the Lord died on the cross. An amazing thing. And you say you don't believe the book is divinely inspired, then who do you think cooked that up? That had to come from the Holy Spirit. Look in Mark 15:29. They passed by, railed on him, wagging their heads, saying, Ah, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself and come down from the cross. He didn't say that. That was the testimony of the false witnesses come back to haunt them. The temple did get destroyed, but Jesus didn't destroy it. Titus did. You're in Mark. Continue on with chapter 15:31. Likewise also the chief priest mocking said among themselves with the scribes, He saved others. Himself he cannot save. Let Christ the King of Israel descend now from the cross that we may see and believe. You know those chief priests and those scribes, and those elders, those rulers, terrible men. Matthew 27:41 says, Likewise also the chief priests, mocking him with the scribes and elders, said, He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. No, they wouldn't. They would not, because not only did they take him down from the cross and put him in a tomb, he rose 3 days later. And the chief priests and elders told John and Peter, You can't preach in that man's name. They imprisoned him, cut off the head of James, tortured Paul. Terrible, terrible. The natural man receiveth not the things of God, for they are spiritually discerned. 1 Corinthians says, You can surely see it here. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, I'm the Son of God. God did have him. He ascended into heaven. God gladly had him. He's right there on the right hand of God right now, just like he told Pilate. You'll see me on the right hand of glory. Infuriated the chief priests. Well, too bad. Luke 23:35 goes on to say, the people stood beholding, the rulers also with him derided him, saying, he saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, if thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. The people reviled him. The chief priests and the elders and scribes mocked him and reviled him. Even the soldiers reviled him. And if that were not enough, Mark says in Mark 15:32, they that were crucified with him reviled him. Even the thieves reviled him. Matthew says, the thieves also which were crucified with him cast the same in his teeth. The modern translators hate that phrase, they cast the same in his teeth. You can understand that phrase. Sure you can. The thieves also which were crucified with him cast the same in his teeth. You know exactly what that phrase is. You know what it is? It's what we say today when we tell a man that I'm going to make you eat those words. You ever heard that expression before? I'm going to make you eat those words. That's what they were saying. Cast the same in his teeth, make you eat those words. Now, the next thing that happens on this cross, right as it's getting ready to go dark, is the salvation of the thief on the cross, which I would cover, but given our time, I don't want to rush through this because there's something great that happens with that. So I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll pick that up tomorrow with Luke 23:39 and cover that in great detail. Because one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, if thou be the Christ, save thyself. But the other one said, hey, don't you fear God? And talks to this fella, and the Lord guarantees him a place in paradise. But we'll look at that in more detail tomorrow. Let me remind you again that these kinds of lessons that we do are not typical, where we go through so much scripture verse by verse like that. Generally, we deal with a topic and stick with it and outline it well for you and all that. And so this one, I'll grant you, is harder to follow, but it's to show you something, and that's to put all those events of the crucifixion in chronological order for you.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.